April 22nd, 2017, RLRD.
All right, welcome everybody. Let's please stand and have a place together.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You received recently the minutes for the March 25 meeting. I hope you've had a chance to review those, if you don't happen to have them in your hand, but...
That was a lot of minutes.
A lot of minutes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of text there, for good reason, needed to be. But and I'm not actually sure, as I think about it now, whether or not the resolution we had passed, was that attached to those minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember the body of it, but I couldn't remember. Mm-hmm. So that needs to be there for posterity. Okay. So, okay, good. Anybody have any questions about them, or can I hear a motion to accept the minutes as they are presented?
So moved.
Right, second?
I'll second it.
Do you have any questions at all? Any reason we can't? In favor of the minutes as they are presented, say aye.
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 Opposed, no? Thank you. All right, there's a town attached town report that's there. I don't have one this time. It was a verbal one with Phil. Moving along, in terms of other reports, Bill wrote me a note this morning and said, "There, I've got the flu. I really don't want to bring it and give it to you guys. I'm feeling pretty lousy." Missy, however, has presented us with some information here. I don't know if there's more you want us to learn or know about this. Okay, it's kind of straightforward. It's what's being passed around there.
Yeah, can I ask a question? Missy, why did we use Austin Locksmithing? What was that for?
The gate keys.
You know how we get the gates?
Yeah.
They have to get new keys every year.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay.
Cylinder.
Enough said. I got it. Good. And what's this Penn Power Group?
That I can explain.
It is a
Penn Power Group.
Heating block, right?
That's our backup generator.
Okay.
And we as you remember, I don't know if you want me to get into this right now, Mr. Chairman, or in the damn report.
Just hold off, and then you can kind of roll that all together, if that's okay.
And one more question here. Houghton College, Q?
Printing.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I'll get to that when I get to the
smart.
Okay. All right,
it's too late for that.
That ends my question.
I have one. Mm. The Pomeroy and Reynolds equipment.
Yep.
Malcolm Beach, I think.
Malcolm Beach. It's part of the project.
It's part of the water
station. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's a report, so I guess is there nothing, no action to take here. It's just a report of what has been done. All right, go ahead, Bob. You have other things to talk about. And by the way, I didn't welcome you back from your hiatus down south. We're glad you returned. Bill returned as well. And maybe others I'm just not aware of who spent some time away. But we know you've had a nice chance to fun in the sun down there, and now you're back to work.
Boy, are we. Would you like me to go right into the damn report?
Yeah, go right ahead.
We are off to a feverish and early start. To answer Deb's question on the Penn Power system, that is a checkup and servicing of our backup generator that supplies power to the dam if we lose power in a storm. One thing we did this year, if you remember last year, we had the issue with the very high electric bills, and that was the heater in the generator. And it shorted, and so we put in a new heater. But the heater the boys kept pointing it out to me, it was always hot. And it was a manual. They turn it on in the fall and turn it off in the spring when the weather gets warm. But the generator, it's very similar to an oil heater in a diesel. Basically the same idea.
Block heater?
Yeah, and it's built into it. And it keeps the generator heated up so when it needs to start, it's not too cold in the middle of the winter. Well, it was too hot. We were, you know, you go in there and actually was heating that little building, which is open, screen all through it. So we had them come back and look at it again. And even though everything was operating all right, they agreed it was keeping it too warm. So we put a thermostat on it. And that's what the bill there is for. The thermostat only turns on when they need it. When we need it, it'll save us a lot of electricity, probably pay for itself in less than one winter. And obviously it won't get too hot when it reaches a temperature that we need for the unit, it shuts off. So that's what that is. Let's see. I have been on phone contact. We'll meet with Nick Delsworth, who is our mountain climber. I'll meet with him this next week to get the get back on the burner our rock stabilization project. Nick is here in the Northeast doing some work, and will meet me next week at the dam, and we will get things going. Most of the material is around. We still have some cables. Al decided it would be better and cheaper probably to have the ends of the cables where they wrap. We had special crimps and that kind of thing. We were going to try to do it on the bank. He's going to have some of them made up ahead of time by factory made. There's one company we're dealing with who can make them for us. That'll be a better crimp than we can do and save us some money. I have had some calls and questions about some high water. We had water over the dam, not over the dam, over the docks. And we had a situation at that time. We had a lot of rain water coming into the lake. When the boys got down there, we had two trees, a refrigerator, a canoe, two truck tires in the wheels, and a part of a dock, all on the spill gate.
Oh my God.
And so we had to have the boat put in early. Thank you, R&K, for getting our boat in so fast. and for the boys to pull it out of that. Bottom line, we couldn't use the spill gate. They had to open the tubes to draw the lake down, and there was enough coming in so they couldn't catch up with it. So we did have some flooding, but I looked into why and what happened, and it wasn't a matter of the guys weren't watching. When they got down there, they had to get all that stuff pulled away. There is a canoe laying at Balcom Beach, if anybody knows who it belongs to.
Blue, I believe it is.
Green, yeah.
Green?
Yeah.
I have a question, if we could go back to the rock stabilization, because I know I'm going to get questions from the town board. When will that commence?
We'll be working on it.
Like right now? This week?
Yeah. Next few weeks.
Okay.
We may not be stringing cable and things, but we will be getting organized this week with Nick Delsworth, who's the guy that hangs over the cliffs for us.
Any idea how long it's going to take altogether?
No, I would say could be most of the summer.
Okay.
It really depends how well things go. We do know it's not an easy project.
Mm-hmm.
There are pins that have to go in. This has been designed by the engineers, as you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And so that this is not, it was our idea, but when the engineers looked at it, they came up with a much more complicated idea than what we were going to do, and some of that is drilling in down there and ties the fence with anchors all below it, as well as cables. We've got to get our pipes in. The pipes are there. They are 10 and a half inch pipes and heavy wall that we put down in the ground at the top, just beyond the fence, along the top of the bank, and we will string cables down to heavy duty, like a chain link fence, but it really isn't that, and cable that in. So,
thank you.
Depending how long getting the anchors in, those have a, for not a better word, a glue that goes in with them that helps hold them into the rock and what have you, and that depends on weather.
Oh, okay.
So we can't do that when it's too cold or too wet. But we have lots we can do. We got to clear stumps off the bank and things like that to make room. One of the issues we have four rolls of this fencing at 1,000 pounds a roll, and we got to figure out how to get it over the bank and down there so we can handle it. So, but those we'll figure it out. Those are the things we rely on Bobby Pomeroy and those guys. They're pretty good at figuring out how to get stuff to the dam. We may find it's easier now that the lake's up to, the barge can handle that much weight easily, and we may haul to Malcolm Beach, take them over and see if we can't get wheels on it, bring it up from the bottom, bring it by water. Let's see. I am happy to report, I hope, we have the lake level system fixed. Dennis Charsley, our maintenance guy, I assigned him the task to absolutely bug the hell out of Verizon. Just keep calling them and raising hell.
Is that the sensor?
Sensor, yeah. Yes. The lake level sensors. If you remember last year, we had trouble with the sensor.
Right.
We replaced that. And as it's turned out, and we've had trouble through the year. One day it works, one day we get rain and it doesn't respond, doesn't tell us. Or if it does respond, it tells us, gives us the wrong information, tells us the lake is 3 feet lower than it is. We've been chewing on Verizon. I've called some of their top people, and we finally got the message across to them that this is a real safety issue. We have to know where the water level is, and it can't be checking, working every 2 days. When we're having a storm or we're having an event, they check every 15 minutes to see where the water level is. And make a long story short, they finally relented. We had them through the winter. We had them in the building and went through things because they thought it was inside the building. They ended up putting in a new pole and stringing all new wires down through the woods and new wires to the dam. And so far it's been working fine. We haven't had any issues and we've had quite a bit of rain. So we think we're finally there. I talked about the heater. Let's talk about the work on valves. We mentioned this at the last meeting, but it ties in with what I'm going to say, so I will repeat it a little bit. When we met with the senator to see if we could find some more money for the dam, one of the things that came out of that meeting, loud and clear, was the $500,000 grant that we were given by Senator Young, that's in Albany with our name on it. The message came across loud and clear, use it or lose it. And we explained that, you know, the project's $4 million. $500,000 might be difficult just to use it. She said the governor is going around looking in these pots, and if you hadn't used it, he is taking it and using it for something else. So it came across that the last meeting, the board decided to use it. And of course, the task came to us to figure out how and the best way to use it. I have met with Al Corwin, he's back from California. We've started that moving. What we are talking about possibly, we're going to come up with a scenario to present to the board of the best way we can spend the $500,000 to do, get the most bang for our buck. We don't know yet exactly what that means. What we're talking about initially is buying a valve. Buy the valve and have it here. Spend the money, give them the receipts. Now, a valve won't cost us $500,000, and the $500,000 probably isn't even enough to install it.
Right.
But we need, there's a couple things that we need to find out first. One is, what are the parameters of the grant? How much leeway do we have? For example, can I use some of that $500,000 for the road behind the dam? Are there other things that we can do that have to be done to do the valves, but, or can I only purchase equipment with it? So we're working on finding that out from the grant people. Bill Zabel is calling the people that administer the grant. We're also talking to Teresa in the senator's office. The other issue we have is it's not a matching grant, it's a reimbursement grant, which is good. We don't have to match the funds. But the complication comes in, we have to spend that money first. So we have to take our $1 million reserve, we have to spend $500,000 of that, and be left with $400,000 or $500,000 left in our reserve, which is low. That's a scary amount to have in there, because if a major event happened and we had some damage to the spillway or something like that, $500,000 is peanuts. So we're talking to the senator's office and the grant people to get an idea how long before we get reimbursed. How long are we going to gamble? The last time was 4 or 5 years before we got our money back from the grant. Well, that scares the hell out of us. So we're working on that, along with moving forward on purchasing a valve and what we can do. At the same time, we have to update our pricing, because it's been 2 years since we've had our quote. Not likely we can probably buy it for the price that's in our figures. So we're also, as Al and I have talked, through the last couple of years, we've been doing a little research, and we found another company who can supply valves. I think it's actually the company that had made the original valves that were in the dam instead of the Halbanka people. So we're, at the same time, we're repricing with another company and see if we can cut the price, or if nothing else, it's a bargaining chip with our company that we're talking with. So that's where we're going with that. We are going to try to, we hope, this may be a little aggressive, but we hope to come back to the board, I'd like by our May meeting, but at least by our June meeting, with a proposal of what's the best way to spend the money, how we, what can we do, and where we're at. Let me see here, Mr. Chairman. We've also been this last week going through with our people and Al Corwin and myself organizing to finish the crane. As you know, we ran into an early winter, although it turned nicer. It was actually worse in December when we were working at the dam than it was a good part of the winter. But we ended up not being able to finish the crane and putting it to sleep. But I had Al and myself, we put together in writing a schedule of what had to be done to finish in case us two old timers didn't make it through the winter and you guys, somebody could pick up and take off from there. Because nobody else knows what's going on with it but him and I, so. And I think that's probably enough, Mr. Chairman, unless there's any questions.
Okay, good. Thank you for the report, Bob.
Have you looked at other types of valves? I keep talking to people that are dam engineers, and they say you can use gate valves and butterfly valves.
Those folks haven't been to our dam, Charlie. Butterfly valves is in the project at the $4 million cost. And maybe when we put this together, it'll be a one halbunger and a butterfly valve. But the butterfly valve doesn't replace the halbunger valves. The butterfly valves are in addition to it. The butterfly valves will take, as you guys know, you have to have two backup systems. You have to have two ways to shut the water off. The halbunger valves is one, but we have gates in the center of the dam underneath that building. That shuts them off. Well, those are 87 years old, and when we have to have them worked on, it's $300,000-$500,000. You're paying divers $5,000 a dive who can only work 40 minutes, and they got to pay for all these barges. It's extremely expensive. So the butterfly valve replaces that. Now you still have to have the gates, but you don't have to use them. We would use them a couple times a year to make sure they work. The reason you need the gates is in case you have to work on the butterfly valves. But the butterfly valve goes on the back outside of the dam, not under the water. It goes on the backside. So if we need to do repairs, it's very inexpensive. You close the gate and you can take the valve right off and send it someplace if we had to. But the butterfly valve brings in expenses in other ways. The penstocks that go into the dam. If anybody remembers looking over, you see those big tubes that lay on the bottom of the, going to the little buildings behind the dam. Those penstocks go in. Well, the penstocks don't go straight into the dam. They go at an angle. It was $250,000 for a piece of penstock that will reach in far enough to the dam so we can mount the butterfly valves to it. So what they're telling you is true, Charlie, but it doesn't fit our operation. We've had the best engineers. Hay Engineering, when I called them last year for our issue with the bricks and things, he was standing on a monstrous dam in New Orleans. You could put 25 Rushford Lake dams there. These guys are the best. They know, that's what they do. Al Corwin, who's our engineer, our advisor, the district advisor on the dam, was the engineer for the dam when he worked for Hague Engineering. We can't do any better in that category than we are. And when you say to another engineer who hasn't been to the dam, who doesn't understand the situation we're working with, yeah, you can use the butterfly valve, but it doesn't replace the halbungers. I've also been asked over the years if we produce electricity there, can we get rid of the halbungers? No. The halbungers got to be there no matter what. It's part of the system. It's the way. It's for safety. It's for draining. And the reason for electric is electric comes out of another set of tubes to produce the generator. But if you have too much water, you're having a storm, you can't run that much through the generator. It's too powerful, too fast. It's got to go through the halbungers. So we have looked into all that. That's the reason we have the engineering, and I hope that answers your question.
All right, let's move along, and Chad, let me throw the ball to you here, and we'll talk about some of the consent items.
Yeah, we have six items on the consent agenda. So they're all consent items. So any questions?
I know we talked about it. Our Have neighbors been notified if there's any, you know, major changes or anything?
These are all license transfers.
Okay, all right.
And boat lifts. There's nobody, you know, building new docks or anything.
I think for new docks and new lifts and whatever, I think there needs to be neighbor notification. In the future.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to that policy that we had under Doug Clarendon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So, is something you're voting on right now, that policy?
No, we're just simply either going to approve the consent or not.
I make a motion, we approve the consent items.
I'll second.
All right. Moved and seconded. Other questions or issues? All these have been vetted by the, you know, the dock committee and meet the requirements. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? All right, good, thank you. Moving on to the committee reports, I'll just mention that the most recent April 2017 newsletter is in the printing process, was given yesterday to the printer, and we should get them back on Wednesday, and hopefully late next week, or certainly early the following week, we'll have that in the mail and in people's hands. We'll also have it, as you know, it'll be posted on the website and available. I realize that probably up under announcements it would have been helpful just to mention a couple of things, so let me just throw it in now while I'm speaking relative to communication. A couple of things have happened, just so you're well aware. 2 days ago, Bob and I had a meeting with the county sheriff and the undersheriff, and the deputy sheriff, Randy Beckman, who is the principal marine sheriff who spends time on the lake here. Very good meeting, probably 45 minutes or so, and they're very open to hearing us. You know, obviously, there are concerns and issues relative to, you know, to budget. Something we didn't, well, we learned some things that we hadn't known before relative to the people who are on the lake. They spend much of their time, it gets beyond perhaps what we need to be talking about here, but I'm looking forward to, you know, having a bit higher profile on the lake this summer. We've also invited one of the three of them. We don't know which one it will be. I would guess maybe the one who patrols the lake most, probably Randy Beckman, will be at the June 10 meeting to take 5 to 7 minutes or so to bring greetings and let people know that they are well aware and on board with our more aggressive educational policy of making sure that people both know and abide by the New York State voter laws. And I might add, while I'm thinking about that, I have some here. If you out here in the audience, please would take one with you. You may be getting multiple copies pushed at you, but we want to hand them out like candy and make sure that people have access to those, and hopefully they will read them and then and abide by them. So that's part of the push we have. But I wanted just to report that we met with the sheriff. They're very receptive to things we had to say. We'll be here on June the 10th to address us. I've had other meetings along with Leonard Preston and Claire Beeman relative to the Balcom Beach wash station that we're putting in at this point in time. We've also made application for a code variance, and who knows? Charlie's not here. He left. Okay. I don't know exactly when that's going to be, how long that might take, but probably it went to Albany and it's probably going to be referred to either Rochester or Buffalo boards. And so, but the issue is simply, I'll just tell you, the current shed that's there was placed there a few years ago unpermitted. Now that we're kind of kicking the sleeping dogs and trying to do more permitted work down there at Balcom Beach, like, ooh, okay, we have to have a variance to be sure that any building like that, which they are referring to as an office, which is pretty grand and glorious for a shed, needs to have a you know, toilet and sink, and therefore a whole septic system, all of which is going to cost us thousands of dollars. We've been functioning with a little porta potty, double porta potty down there for years, so we've made application just to have it waived that we have to have a septic and toilet and everything that's down there, that we can live with the way we are. So as a result, although we're disappointed, we're not moving that building right now, and we are not putting a toilet, potable water available for that building. So that's the reason for the variance application. What else can I tell you? I guess from a communication committee point of view, that's really what you need to know. The environmental committee has not met since we last did, although we did finally get the rest of Ed Kwitniewski's rather massive report. He sent a 21-page report, which is being placed on the website, but the thumb drive that came was probably, if I printed it out, it'd be 300 pages. So now I've got a thumb drive that came in the mail, and I got to figure out, okay, I got to go get some thumb drives to make copies to hand out to the environmental committee and let them have a chance to absorb it and all that. So that just hasn't happened since our last meeting. So be aware that we are working on that. And in the meanwhile, you may or may not know that Biotech Labs from Buffalo are going to be resume their water assessment and water testing sometime very soon. As you know, they do it multiple times through the summer and in multiple places around the lake, primarily at the mouth of some of our major streams, just to keep track of. It's never been an issue before where we have to close the lake because of E. coli or something else. The lake has a way of healing itself, but we want to be sure that we have a good track record of knowledge information from Biotech Lab, so we will spend those dollars to get that assessment. I think that finishes what I want to say. I'm going to pass it now to Mary Jo and the Finance Committee.
We had a Finance Committee meeting on
Thursday.
I guess it was Thursday, the 20th. And everyone's back. Because people have been gone, a lot of the snowbirds are on the finance committee, so we had our first meeting since last fall. We are searching out avenues of funding to help with the dam. We are setting up meetings with some of the local politicians and to see what some of the grants that are available and if we need any requirements to apply for the grants. We're looking into a zero interest loan that might be available. And the money pots are out there, but we just have to find the one that works for us. So that's what we're doing. We have another meeting scheduled for May 23rd at 6:30. It's a Tuesday night, I believe. It will be held here in the district office if anyone would like to attend. Members of the Finance Committee are also on the Foundation Committee, and we're going to be doing another mailing for the Foundation. We did a mailing out to corporate boat companies this past Thursday. So hopefully, and the foundation seems to be growing quite nicely.
Never as nicely as we'd like.
Well, yeah. I wish someone would just write us a $7 million.
So just leave your check in the hat on the way out the door, please, so we can grow that foundation.
The foundation will be represented at the dam awareness meeting. And that's where we're at.
You said the next meeting was the 23rd?
23rd, 6:30. It's a Tuesday night.
Of May.
I think it'd be helpful to tell them what the balance is in the fund. I thought, even though it's not what we all wanted, I think it's pretty impressive.
I think it is.
There's probably right now, it's 59,000 something, but I know there were a couple more donations made, so it's over $60,000. And it's earning great interest. That's the beauty of it.
Fantastic interest.
Which we cannot earn as a municipality. So. Good.
Probably around 6%.
At least, yeah, a solid 6%.
Big money.
So if we continue to get funding, if we continue to get donations, and that continues and continues and continues, it might be a way of replenishing our emergency fund once that money seems to be used up.
Okay.
If you know of any big corporate donors, please let us know.
People with deep pockets.
People who love contributing to dam funds like that. All right, Jenny, Rules Committee.
Well, we met earlier this month, and probably the basic issue, and it seems to be an ongoing issue, is people with rights of ways and backlotters who have rights, who don't have rights, and a lot of these just boil down to the frontlotters and the backlotters having to work some of these situations out amongst themselves.
Because they're above the 1450 and kind of out of our...
Yeah. And then you also discussed the food cart. So, is
what do you mean? In terms of where it is?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't. We were talking about at the
rules meeting.
The rules committee. Yeah, we did. I'm sorry. Yeah. And if it's okay, let me just say that I'm next on the list
okay,
here, legal, so I'll defer to you.
Well,
and
go ahead.
I'm curious, before we move on, though, are we going to establish another rules committee?
Yes, we need to have another.
Can we do that, please? Because we just have things constantly coming at us.
What's good for everybody?
Well,
Wednesdays, Thursdays?
Well, either Wednesday or Thursday have been our traditional times to meet. The question would be exactly when that's going to be. Next week just does not work for me through Wednesdays or Thursdays. And you're going to be gone? How long will you be gone?
I'll be back probably the 2nd or 3rd of May.
Okay.
What about the 17th or the 18th for people?
Of May?
Yeah.
I prefer the 18th.
The 18th I cannot do.
I've got a planning board meeting that night, so I can't do that.
10, 11?
17 work?
I have a 6:50 flight out of Buffalo the next morning, and I'm planning to go to Buffalo to spend the night, so it's not going to work.
What about the 11th?
I was going to say 10, 11.
Mm. Yeah.
The
11th? Yeah.
Does that work?
Okay for me.
Probably. I have nothing here, but somehow there's something in my mind says, ooh, that's the night. But
what about the 10th?
Well,
that's not
the
Wednesdays are, Thursdays are better.
Let's establish the 11th.
Okay.
May 11th.
What time?
6:30.
Yep. Rules. And...
Okay.
6 o'clock. Pardon me, 6:30. Okay, good. I'll just a brief report relative to any legal issues. Obviously, we don't get into the details of this, but I'll just mention that Chad and I had a face-to-face meeting with Joe over several issues that are kind of ongoing, and we're trying to bring those to conclusion. I've also had a number of email exchanges and phone calls with Joe as well about some of these things. So we've put a lot on his plate, and he's trying to triage which is the most important. One of which, by the way, is the resolution relative to the I guess you call it the variance that we're creating for the food truck. And I said if we're unable to have it for this meeting, for sure we'd have to have it for the May 20 meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting really late at that point in time. I don't think it's a controversial thing, but he just needs to craft that so we know what we're doing. So he knows that to have that to us. I should also mention, I know Sean has an interest in this kind of a thing. In our last meeting, I invited him to... write a letter of what his issues and concerns are. We got that letter in the following week, and as we read that over, there seemed to be several things. One, there were some assertions in there about our legal obligations to do X and Y and Z. So because it raised that issue, we threw it again to Joe to say, Joe, have a look at this. Is this true? What are our obligations in these situations? And so I think the Rules Committee will take this up once we hear back from Joe, so we know kind of where things are. So the timetable that you suggest that we ought to be doing is not going to happen, but at least we didn't want you to know we've not thrown under the bus, but we are.
Understandable.
It just takes time for these things to unfold. So I appreciate very much you taking the time to lay out your issues and concerns. I wish everybody would be quite so obsessive about being detailed that way. That I think finishes. Just so you know that, as I said, there's a number of things on Joe's plate that he's working on, and we'll get to those as time moves along. All right, that completes our committee reports, I think, unless we've missed somebody. We have a bit of a thin old business, new business listing here. Is there something which we had forgotten that needs to be dealt with right today?
Yes.
Okay, so we have
ladies.
Okay, I probably should have called for that early on at the top.
Do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
What are your issues? Is this an old or new business?
Dredging. How are we going to pursue the dredging issue?
I thought we decided last time to get some estimates of what that's going to cost.
All right, so.
And
I contacted the DC.
Okay.
So I'm just waiting for a response. I contacted actually a few days after the last meeting.
Okay. And have you heard back or?
No.
Okay.
No, I contacted again, so hopefully.
Okay.
I know they are very shorthanded.
Yes.
So I'm hoping.
Yeah. And they have to approve it, right?
Yes.
Definitely.
The issue I don't think is the approval. I feel the approval. The issue is
financial.
Well,
again,
because the location was where to put the material.
Exactly.
That was the issue. The issue was not whether it would be approved, because that would be approved.
I think we probably got to line up some contractors to get some bids, but they're probably not going to give us a bid until the lake is down
and
they can get in there and see it. So it's probably going to be a fall thing.
That's okay.
But we could have them lined up and have the permits from the DEC and that kind of thing.
There you go.
So I'll make another attempt then.
Okay.
Thank you. So that answers your question.
Second question. Do we have anything set up with CURE or Municipal Solutions?
No.
Okay.
Not at the moment.
Okay.
We can. And I have actually thought about, contacting him again just to kind of keep that contact hot.
Well, because
I need to have something specifically to say to him. But if there's a meeting.
Sources that we want them to investigate.
Right.
Right. Okay.
You had mentioned you gave me a pile of things that are more detailed than what we were able to share here. But it does seem reasonable that we sit and have that conversation or give this ahead of time, let them do some assessments that these are good things or not. Because we are going to have some professional help, grant writing wise, to do this. Which raises the other issue, too. I need to be in touch through CURE, I guess, to enlist the help again if we're going to reapply for the other one. And we don't want to wait so that there's 3 weeks left as what happened last time. So I will make that commitment to talk to CURE, let them know we have several things, and then maybe once you return, we'll try to have a meeting.
And also, when you talk with CURE, ask him if he could have the grant writer. It's a little early, but if she would, or whoever does the grant writing, could look and see if there's any consolidated funding that might meet our needs. And I think the town would have to be the lead agency on that, but there might be something in there for the infrastructure.
Okay, we've been told in the past no.
But it's a new budget.
Yeah, and we also understand that there are some other new things on the horizon just in the last 6 months that have been signed into law and that might be some money pots.
Right.
So that's the kind of a thing the Finance Committee is working on. So you had something else.
Yes, I would like to actually put it into a motion that going forward, whenever there's new construction or major changes to dock and breakwall, that the neighbors on either side be notified?
Yes, I think we need to do that. Only because there's a possibility of the heavy equipment coming in and people just need to know.
Has there been, it's been not a, perhaps not a policy, but just a, an operating principle practice to try to do that?
Yeah, but then it got forgotten.
Yeah, with turnover of boards and so forth, Doug steps off and we didn't.
I just think, it, I mean, not if you're replacing a couple boards or whatever, but if you're bringing equipment in and, you know, running stone and whatever, the neighbors on either side need to know.
You have two things now. You're talking like equipment coming in. So you're not discussing approval.
No, just notification.
That could raise all sorts of problems.
Just saying that they know.
Sort of an FYI to you, this is what's going to be happening.
Right.
Okay. Is that acceptable? I mean, would that
work? Yeah, that's fine. Because I think before, in some cases, we would ask for approval, it was okay sometimes.
Let's codify this then with a point of action for the minutes. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make that,
I'll make the motion that if there's going to be anything major done on a piece of property with a dock or a break wall and equipment's going to be brought in, that the neighbors on either side be notified.
I'd like to see that clarified to say if it affects the neighbors on either side. If you have your property that comes from the road to the water and equipment's all on your property, they're not coming across to anybody else's, why are we involving anybody else into those people?
Because in some cases where there are not paved roads, they're moving across private property without permission.
I'm saying that we need to narrow this so that we're not stirring up things all around the lake. If they're not coming, if you're coming right off of 49 across your property to the lake, the neighbors are not affected in any way.
That's a different scenario. That's what I'm talking about.
So I don't want this to read as though every time somebody's using equipment, we're sending out notices.
Because then you'd have to decide what type of equipment and all that.
How big?
We're
still kind of at a discussion formative stage. We really haven't received what he's suggesting would need to be acceptable to you as a friendly amendment to what you're suggesting. So
you want to limit the notification only if equipment's going to be going across somebody else's property?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it affects them.
You mean somebody else's property or district property in exclusive use? What are we talking about here? Above or below 1450?
I'm talking about above the
1450 where they're going across properties and the neighbors didn't know about it.
I think this ought to go to the Rules Committee for some discussion.
All right, I'll make a motion we take this to the rules.
We can hammer this out a little bit.
But it's going to take a little thinking and bring a recommendation back to this group as a formal motion.
Yes.
All right.
I have one other under, well, I guess it would be new business.
Whatever.
John Jessup's here. That's why I want to ask the question. John, I have a question to ask you, only because I think it's important for the lake people to know. Is there, supposedly there's a trash collection day in Rushford?
This has been called, there is every year.
Okay.
And we always bring it up in the main meeting, town board meeting. They have to approve it because we're expending money.
Okay.
However, I know that you've got a...
I got a couple phone calls.
I know you did. And I had all sorts of stuff last night, too. I'm sure we're going to have it this year. And let me tell you, usually how it works, and I sort of want to add to it this year as a result of the suggestion. Normally what it is, the town will pick up items that you can't put out for garbage. These would be, i.e., refrigerators, stoves, and all this. Now, we do try to be careful because we don't want, quite frankly, don't want everybody coming on Bob's smile.
I can get you a load right now.
We don't want everything from Cornell coming into Rushford.
All right.
The town will pick it up. Usually, if they schedule, they have to have, obviously, an address, etc. The other thing that I'm toying with, and this has to go work with Will on, is having a dumpster. It would probably be at the town barn. It can't be out here, obviously, where people for one given week could could bring things in of the disposable nature. Minus garbage. We don't want garbage in it. And with that, does that answer your question?
Yes,
trying
because
to expand it a little bit.
Trying to let the lake people know that this is going on because they don't know about these things. And that's why we have a refrigerator in our lake.
I will, what my thought is, quite frankly, is one, I'm going to talk to Will on Monday. He's been sort of hit and miss. He's been quite sick and everything. Talk with him, and if he's agreeable, then I will poll my board members, or the board members, and obviously I'm in favor of it. I got to get two more people that are, so.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Because I think it would be important for us to put it out on the website, and then so people would know.
I'm not so sure that refrigerator
can. And it should be on our website, too.
Okay.
Oh, I don't think it's.
Stuff comes from higher.
Yeah, it came up
right.
Much higher because it went past my.
Are we?
Yes, thank you.
Satisfied that those questions are
answered? Bob, you had something.
Yeah, just a short thing on their old business. The rebuilt dock at the beach, the old sheriff's dock. Chad, are we going to put some signage on there that says drop off only? No.
Yeah, we'll
no
have
parking.
Signs on it, yeah.
And for anybody who doesn't know, the Landowner Association for many years has asked that since many years the dock, the sheriff doesn't use it anymore. He moved to Balcom Beach and the dock sat there, and they wanted to know why, people on the lake wanted to know why it couldn't be used to drop kids off at the beach to swim. And instead of always having to go back and park the boat and take the kids by car. So the board voted last year, last fall. Chad rebuilt the dock. We put a railing along the side towards the beach, so it can only be accessed from the side away from the beach, but it's for drop-off. You can't park there, and so otherwise two boats and nobody else can get off. So that's what I'm talking about.
And it is an item in the forthcoming newsletter.
Yeah.
So people will be informed of that, along with the other dock over near the new sheriff's dock, which has now been dropped in and is prepared and ready to go for receiving anybody who wants to come and have an ice cream cone at Balcom Beach. They can do that. But again, I think the signage needs to say, as the newsletter says, these are temporary docking. This is not to come to spend an afternoon, have a good time docked up there. And so we just need to be sure. I don't know whether you want to say, 15-minute limit or whatever.
Not even.
But I think, drop off, pick up, kind of a thing. So, but be aware that that's happening.
Mr. Chairman, just to let folks on the lake know that the Sheriff's Department is going to put in a jet ski lift, so they will have a jet ski they're going to be coming around the lake on. So.
Right next to the Sheriff's boat.
Their boat lift.
All right, I think that brings us to the end of our old and new business. We'll take just a few moments. If anybody else has something of general interest to this group, any open forum comments that you want to make, or I not to preclude this, but I know that Mary Jo's car is running out there. She's on her way to Myrtle Beach as soon as we say adjourned. But. Don't let that dampen anybody's enthusiasm. All the hands go up, yeah. Myrtle Beach, come on.
All my friends in the audience, yeah. Okay, thank you. Filibuster.
Yeah. All right.
I do have one thing.
Julie.
Mm-hmm. I do want to thank the board and for giving the taxpayers a full lake early. As you can see, people are using it. There's boats out there. We've got people enjoying it. We have the whole month of May. Thank you for giving the taxpayers a full month of May to use their boats. We appreciate that.
That was probably more Mother Nature than
the taxpayers want. They really do. I mean, the lake coming up at the end of May, so we appreciate that. Thank you. And I've got lots of great feedback from people saying thank you. So I'm saying thank you. On that note,
we'll take it.
I know you've got a newsletter coming out, correct?
Imminently, next week.
Did you guys also post in there the early drop date in October?
Yes.
It's in there.
Good. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that too. So.
And a reference, now that you're speaking about it, and a reference to not only the coming fall drawdown, but the spring fill-up that made mention yet again that it's always difficult to anticipate break wall and dock work in the springtime because we just don't know how the lake's going to come up. So, and we know it leaves some people short all the time. They get January, they ask for the thing, we're going to try to get it in, oh shoot, the lake's up. Sometimes, as we know, unfortunately, this the lake's down and they can get that work done. So we basically have said, it's been a policy for a while, that anything after February 1 really is at your own risk, you know, if you're going to wait that long. This year, it's up. Next year, it may be a while before that's up. So, but we're working hard to make sure to feather that dam and the water coming into the lake so it doesn't happen. And then we have a freeze, and then all that ice grabs all those posts on those docks and comes up another 6 inches with a heavy rain event and pulls all those docks up, and then we've got another problem altogether when we've got multiple people around the lake saying, hey, what's going on? So the dance here, the balance, is to try to figure out exactly when to fill that lake, when to close the dam, fill the lake, where we can be sure there's not going to be any ice event after that. So,
and also part of our calculations with that is trying to keep the ice low on the dam, where it can't do the kind of damage it would do if it was up on the thinner part of the dam.
Yes.
So the issue Bob raised about, you know, what a job it was to clear the spillway of all this debris, is there something in the newsletter about that so people are aware that, I mean, they're causing, whoever's letting this happen are part of the cause of the problem. You know, if we can get more awareness that, you know, you got to take care of your stuff and keep it out of the lake.
I think it's too late for the newsletter, but right. I think it is a good thing to bring up.
It's always something to bring up.
The dam awareness meeting and joint meeting.
I doubt that people are aware that we have people down there working for how many hours to do that, and how it impacted
the refrigerator.
I've got a good picture of the fridge coming out.
Yeah, picture.
And a PowerPoint.
Good. Yes. We need this.
Show people what's.
That refrigerator, I will tell you, came out of the creek because it came past us.
Yeah.
So it probably took the beer out of it before.
I don't know where it came from, but it came out of the creek.
It is. Let me just get my arms around this again. It is too late for this newsletter, but we'll make special effort to make comment about this June the 10th. But I think it's true that most people do not understand the amount of crap that ends up at the dam, big and little, and some of the difficulties that can be associated with, you know, jamming the gates and getting stuff out. We have some enormous trees that Chad has pulled out of the lake with the scow and cut up, bucked them up, and moved them on. So it's always something that has to be done every year. Our own people, you know, Chad, Bob Pomeroy, and others work hard to keep that clean. We always appreciate when other people are willing to go out there and be a little helpful as well. But the answer is we've gone to print, and that particular item was not mentioned in that way. But
you would like to think that, I mean, a pop can is a bad thing, let alone having to bring someone aware that, hey, you shouldn't throw a refrigerator.
Yeah, right. Dan, I think you're right.
Or 17 truck tires.
Yeah.
With the rims.
And the wheels. Again, a pop can in my eyes is pretty dumb.
Absolutely.
Trash racks.
All right, I hear and see no other hands for this, and we're going to let Mary Jo get going, and the rest of us will spend our mundane day in Rushford. So please make him hear a motion to adjourn.
So
second?
I'll second. Mary Jo seconds.
All in favor, please leave.
You get a chance if I can get a copy of that.
Yep, I'll go down right now.